The case for Chase. Wide receiver, top five wide receiver ranking, starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Excited to bring you another rankings episode. This time, we're scooting over to the wide receiver rankings. And today, Donkey Teeth is going to make his case for Ja'Marr Chase at number one on top of his rankings. Before we do, make sure you want to follow us across the board. Make sure you're following us on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel at Razzball Fantasy. And also make sure you go to IG and TikTok and follow us there at Razzball Fantasy as well. If you also want to go check us out, we have great articles dropping right now on Razzball.com on the baseball, basketball, hockey, and football. And make sure you're going to check out all the great tools and resources we got right now on Razzball.com, including our ADP tool. But I tell you, it is fantastic. So let's bring in my co-host for today, the head honcho of Razzball Fantasy, Donkey Teeth. What's going on, man?
What's happening, partner? Excited to talk about these wide receivers.
That is right, folks. And listen, it's at this point, I get shocked every week. Once a week, every Thursday, Donkey Teeth shocks and awes me with his exciting, unique rankings. And today, we got a great top five for you, folks. So before we do, we're going to jump right into number five, DT. We're starting at five, going down to one. Let's start at five. Who do you have at five in your wide receiver rankings?
Yeah, all right. Number five here, Bobby. We've got Deebo Samuel. And, you know, there's some question here about where Deebo Samuel plays in 2022, which, you know, I'm not super concerned about it. Let's step back to 2021. It was the story of two seasons, really, for Deebo. Coming off of pretty much a lost 2020 season, he exploded onto the scene last year in the receiving department. So the first seven games, he just dominated through the air, and then suddenly he became this incredible ground threat. And the final eight games of the season, he dominated on the ground. So, you know, there's some uncertainty. If he's going to be in San Francisco, you know, he's going to be playing with the new quarterback. He didn't exactly dominate in the two games that Trey Lance did start last year. So there's some question marks there. Or if he's on a new team, there's question marks there. So do I feel great about drafting Deebo as the number five wide receiver? I mean, not necessarily. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to be really hard to put the genie back in the bottle here. When we've seen this dominance on the ground, I think no matter where he ends up, whether it's in San Francisco or another offense, they're going to have to go back to that. You know, anybody that acquires him has to have that in mind. So I feel like while the rushing production may step back a little bit, it's got to be there. This is kind of a lukewarm call for a guy that I've got ranked as high as number five here. But I'd be surprised if the rushing production wasn't at least close to last year's. What do you think, Bobby?
Well, first of all, the eight rushing touchdowns doesn't seem realistic. But when I actually looked at his rushing production for previous years, you know, I know that eight is a big number, but he also had a boatload more of carries. And if you look at just how many fantasy points he generates on every carry in his career, it actually is right in par with the rest of his career. His rookie season, he had three touchdowns, I think, on like 12 carries. So it's not like he's completely an outlier there. I guess my question is the Trey Lance thing. I understand that Trey Lance, people are like, oh, Alex Smith. Everyone probably thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be a downgrade. But I don't know if I can just get on board with Trey Lance coming in and immediately being an upgrade for Deebo. Because the thing about Jimmy G, he just sat in the pocket. He got the ball out of his hands and gave it to Deebo. Is Trey Lance going to run a little bit more? How does that impact him? So I'm still going – when you're talking about a guy who averaged 21.5 PPR points per game, who's essentially 3 points higher than most other guys, and Justin Jefferson was a whole 2 points behind him, you know, he does have a lot of room where he can actually lose points per game and still be in that top five. So I'm still comfortable drafting him in the top five as well. But also he has some room to grow in the touchdown department in the receiving game. He only had six touchdowns on 1,400 receiving yards. You know, that's, you know, guys that get 1,400 receiving yards usually get in double digits. So he might lose a little in the rush game, but he could get some back in the receiving game. So I'm not overly concerned with him. But the one thing that I have to look into more is what is that Trey Lance impact? So I might be concerned there. Let's jump down to number four.
Yeah, well, just, you know, just to follow up on that Debo thought before I get to number four. I mean, there's definitely a little bit more upside in the past. I mean, he had a lot of duds for the guy that finishes the number two half PPR wide receiver last year. I mean, he had a stretch there of one reception games where all the production was coming on the ground. It was really kind of a bizarre season. But, yeah, there's definitely more upside. It's just really hard to predict. But, yeah, moving on to number four, Bobby, let's do it.
Justin Jefferson, my friend. So what do you got for Justin Jefferson?
Gosh, Justin Jefferson, it's after I made my case for him in these rankings, I have a hard time believing I've only got him at number four. It feels like he should be higher after I went through and looked at just how incredible his first two seasons of his career have been. So he's the only player to ever have caught 3,000 receiving yards in his first two seasons. Now, of course, part of that is that he had an extra game, right? You know, we got these newfangled rules, and he had the 18-game season last year. But even if you take out that extra game of 106 yards, he's still at 2,900 yards over his first two career seasons. Nobody else has ever done that. Nobody else has ever caught 2,800 yards in their first two seasons. There's only two players that have ever caught 2,700 yards worth of receiving yards in the first two seasons. That's Randy Moss and Odell Beckham Jr. So pretty darn good company there. You know, Kirk Cousin leans very heavily on Justin Jefferson. He trusts him. You know, he saw double-digit targets in seven of his last nine games last year. So, I mean, for somebody that's done this in their first two seasons, I'm not sure how I only rank him at number four, to be honest. Like, do I need to have him higher, Bobby?
No. I'm a big proponent in system continuity and in the offenses. So, one of the things that I noticed over the years when I was doing a lot of research is that when there's a new coaching staff, there is a little bit of a learning curve. And we have to remember that, yes, I understand that Kevin O'Connell comes in and he's an offensive-minded guy. But last year, the Rams threw the ball 607 times. The Vikings threw the ball 604 times. So let's not pretend like there's all of a sudden going to be this influx of pass volume. So I don't think that's the case. The other thing is the Adam Thielen piece. Last year, Thielen barely played last year after like the second half of the year. And he did see about a little over one point less when Thielen's on the field. So there is a little bit of cap. I think the system change along with, you know, Thielen being back on the field, I still think he's a top five. I actually have him at four too. So I'm in too. But at the same time, I think this number one talk is short-sighted. When was the last time a number one wide receiver came from an offense on their first year in the scheme? I can't even remember a player, new offense, and they were number one. Every year, it's a guy in a system for multiple seasons. So that's why I think Justin Jefferson is still a top five receiver. I just don't know if I would have him higher than four.
No, great points. And he's still got Kirk Cousins at quarterback. So, you know.
He's okay. He's all right. This one, I think at number three is kind of a surprise. So let's dive into it.
Davante Adams, yeah. I mean, so I guess I don't want to spoil the top of the list here. But I'll just say that Davante Adams and Derek Carr, they played in college together. So these are the types of things that, I play fantasy football a little bit more by feel than a lot of people, which I think a lot of analytical people can't quite wrap their mind about or around. But there's something in my nature where, like, I'm a very sensual fantasy football player. Okay. And it's less analytical. I mean, I like the stats. I love reading Bobby Lamarco's articles. And he dives into the stats and adding it on to the gut feels that I have. But I really love these narratives and building the narratives and thinking about like how the dynamics are going to work. Sometimes it totally blows up in your face. Don't get me wrong. But in Davante Adams' situation, the narrative here is he played with Derek Carr in college. They had great chemistry in college, and now they're reuniting. So it's like, does that make up for the gap in talent between Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams? Is it going to make up for him coming into a new system, which we know is tough for wide receivers? I'm not sure, but he still is one of the best wide receivers in the game. I have a hard time believing he's not going to produce wide receiver one numbers. I don't know if he reaches, into this top tier, like I've got him ranked. I think he's got a decent chance, but also Derek Carr, I mean, what he's done over the past four seasons with, you know, he's had Darren Waller, but he hasn't really had a bona fide wide receiver. Nothing close to Davante Adams ever really in his career. You know, say what you want. I love Darren Waller. He's not Davante Adams, you know. And he had Amari Cooper, but it was an immature Amari Cooper. And, you know, that was a different time of Derek Carr's career as well. So he's thrown for over 4,000 passing yards and 67% completion percentage or greater over the past each of the past four seasons. I think that this is a pairing that's going to surprise some people this year.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, first of all, a lot of there. You talk about sensual feeling. I mean, I feel more like connected and uncomfortable at the same time right now. I'm super excited about
sweaty.
This.
Sweaty.
It's getting hot here. It is, absolutely. But so this is the other thing I talked about. It's not only is he going to a new team, but this whole is a whole new system. It's Josh McDaniels. So Derek Carr is also learning a brand new system. Now, I understand that a lot of people will point to guys like, oh, DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, Stephon Diggs left their teams. But they were going to establish situations. You know, Josh Allen and Brian Daboll were together for multiple years, and you plop in Diggs, and they're playing fast. They know the system. Derek Carr is also learning a new system, so that worries me a little bit. Here's another key here, and this is what I've been bringing up this whole time. The last four seasons for Davante Adams, he's been over 21.5 points three times in 2018, 2020, and 2021. The one season he wasn't was the first year in the new scheme with Matt LaFleur because it was new. They had a down year in the passing game because there's a learning curve. He only had 17.7 points per game. He is elite. He is probably a lock for 5-7 no matter what. But I just don't know if I'm going to have him at three because I just want to see a guy in a more established situation who can build off the season last year instead of starting kind of from scratch. So I am going to actually have him probably closer to 5-7 range in my opinion. Let's get to the top two, DT, and I think a lot of people will be surprised about where you have the next man.
Well, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, man, he had an incredible season. I guess I should start by fessing up. This was one of those massive backfires of my sensual process here at fantasy football, driven by narrative, because I really had this idea going into 2021. That Cooper Kupp was going to struggle. And, you know, he had this chemistry from day one with Jared Goff. And I was concerned that that wasn't going to be there with Stafford. And boy, it was quite the opposite, right?
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
Couldn't have been more wrong. But yeah, I really like Cooper Kupp. I mean, it's hard to really say anything bad about him. So the fact that he's number two here, I think it's more a reflection of, my process and what we've talked about on the running back shows here is that I'm a sucker for that upside. And Cooper Kupp, I mean, we've seen the upside, what he did last year.
He was just a giant season of upside last year.
Right. So 145 receptions, 1,900 yeah. receiving yards. I mean, I honestly think it's totally repeatable and I'm not going to be at all surprised if he's the number one player. And, you know, definitely think there's a good argument for him at number one. That's all I'll say. I mean, him and Stafford, they clicked on every level.
I have to, you know, I don't feel like I got a credit for this. My must-have player last year in my podcast was Cooper Kupp. So I have to take a little credit there. So, Yeah, he was.
Let me say, he was my must-have player the year before that. So I was okay. Just a year early, man.
No, that's all. That's all. I have plenty of those guys too. So if you want to talk about those guys, yeah. So the one thing I will say is that Allen Robinson coming in, the question, the like low-hanging fruit, maybe a little bit, is if Odell comes back and by mid-season, there's these three elite receivers, and maybe that takes away a little bit, but. There's 192 targets available based on my analysis, and that's plenty for Allen Robinson to eat and Cooper Kupp to keep his. So I like that from that. But the other thing we talked about a couple times, I did weighted opportunities, and I also did an efficiency analysis on their career stats. So how many they generate on red zone looks, end zone looks, and I actually factor that all in. He was 25.7 PPR points per game last year, okay? That's 4 points per game higher than the number two receiver at Davante Adams and 6 points higher than Justin Jefferson at number four. So if theoretically he can lose 20% of his production and still be, top three. So that's how ridiculous he was last year. But if you look at his weighted opportunities based on where he was getting his looks, he still is number one at 22 points per game. So he's getting the nice looks, the red zone looks, the end zone looks, the elite looks. And then if you just factor in his career efficiency, he only dropped from 25 to 24 points per game. So he was elite across the board. It wasn't an outlier year for him. So that's why I still have him at one, even though, buried the lead long enough, I absolutely love the next guy we're going to talk about, who's actually my number two, and I think you could probably convince me to make him one.
Yeah, I mean, everything that we just said, first of all, it's Ja'Marr Chase, but everything that I just said about Justin Jefferson, you bring Ja'Marr Chase in and it's like he's put Justin Jefferson to shame almost with his rookie season. 1,455 receiving yards, single season rookie record. Of course, he had the extra game too, but he only put up 26 yards in that extra game. So it's not like he really took advantage of it anyway. He set the single season rookie record for single game receiving yards with 266 in week 17, and he caught 13 touchdowns. I mean, he caught 13 touchdowns, and we're talking about again, just like with Derek Carr and Davante Adams, these two played in college, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They've got that chemistry that's been built over years, and then on top of that, we've got a guy in Joe Burrow that's blossoming into his prime here. They just went to the Super Bowl together. I mean, I guess the argument against them is that they've peaked, and which is silly to say, right, for a rookie and a second year quarterback. But maybe they've gotten so high that there's going to be a come down, and there's this whole idea of sophomore slumps and stuff. I just don't see it. I think that they're just on their way up here, and they're not even close to the peak. And these two, I mean, for them not to be Hall of Famers, I would be really surprised, which is, it sounds funny, right? For first and second year players, yeah. But it's just, everything is there. They've got a good offensive line, that this is an exciting offense, high powered. It's all right there. This feels like the next Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Terrell Owens, Steve Young, Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning. It's just that connection. It feels like it's going to be there for like the next 8 years. What do you think, Bobby?
I am obsessed with Ja'Marr Chase. I actually think there's only two receivers I want in the first round. It's Cooper Kupp and Chase. Everybody else, I'd rather take running backs. I think those are the two guys. And here's kind of the reasons why. Number one, I love continuity. You're going to know that about me. They have the same coach, same scheme. They improved the offensive line. Everything is going to be better when you can build off that scheme now. So I love that. But here's some interesting facts. The Bengals were not pass happy last year. Actually, they were passing so little last year. So I looked into this. League average pass attempts is 34, okay? So just in the games where they averaged at least 34 or more attempts, he averaged 24.6 PPR points per game, okay? That's just behind Cooper Kupp and way ahead of Davante Adams. So when they started to throw more, his numbers skyrocketed in fantasy. Now, what's the big deal? He was fourth in the NFL in fantasy points per dropback last year for wide receivers. So why am I saying all this stuff? They threw the ball 555 times in 17 games in 2021. The previous year in 16 games, they threw 581 times. The year before that, 616 times. And the last time, Zach Taylor in Miami in 2015, 588 times. So you're looking at anywhere from 30 to 60 more, you know, attempts in a season. Based on what Zach Taylor has done in the past, I believe that, you know, Joe Burrow, they eased him into the season. And I think that because of all that, they were more conservative. They leaned on Joe Mixon. I think now another year healthy, he can explode. And I am all in. Actually, he's the only guy I believe that could pass up Cooper Kupp this season as the wide receiver one. So I'm all about the ranking. Any last words, DT, about your rankings before we go?
No, man, I got to compliment you, Bobby. I always love how you bring the angle of coaching staff and system into your thoughts on all of these players. It's really valuable.
All right, man. Listen, once again, this is the top five wide receiver rankings for 2020. It's early. It's could change. You know, more guys. Who are Stephon Diggs? Where's guys like Mike Evans? Is there any dark horse top five guys we haven't talked about? We have plenty of time to get into all that. But once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Please make sure you subscribe, leave a comment. Also, you know, join us on TikTok and IG at Razzball Fantasy. And also make sure you go to razzball.com to check out all the great articles for basketball, baseball, hockey, and of course, football. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. That man over there is Donkey Teeth. And we are out of here.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.